Hello and welcome to another Music Ally Focus with me, Music Ally's editor, Joe Sparrow. And in this episode, we're very happy to be joined by the Chief Commercial Officer of Sing, Rio Karev. Sing are the home audio manufacturer who make what they call the world's first triphonic speaker, which they claim enables a new kind of listening experience. We'll be chatting to Rio about how this fascinating technology works and the future of music consumption when you take it one step beyond streaming to your iPhone and turn it into something more enveloping and exciting. Now, what is this Focus podcast? Well, Music Ally, as you know, provides an analysis-rich, contextual guide to the music business. And each of these Music Ally Focus episodes analyzes one meaningful music business story at a time, just like this one. This podcast is also going to be quick. It'll clock in at only four times longer than Uzair Novruzov was able to balance, unaided, on a 6-meter-high ladder. His record of 7 minutes and 15 seconds was achieved in 2016. Now, talking of climbing to the top, Rio Karev is one of the people with the better views over the music tech landscape. Rio was the founder of the premium music and video entertainment platform Vivo and was also latterly chief content officer at the innovative augmented reality company Magic Leap. He's now chief commercial officer of Sing, which manufactures a futuristic and rather beautiful looking and innovative home audio system, which aims to revolutionize the way we consume audio by placing us deep into an audio sound field. It's a fascinating concept, and let's find out from Rio exactly how it works and what it means for the future of music consumption. Okay, we're very happy to welcome Rio Karev to the podcast to talk about innovative new ways of listening to music in terms of format and technology, and specifically Sing, where Rio is Chief Commercial Officer at the moment. Rio, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
This is something that we've reported on quite a lot recently. New audio formats, both in terms of delivery of audio, for example, spatial audio is something which we've all heard a lot about recently, but also the actual technology itself, which can deliver new audio experiences in lots of different ways. This is something that you're working on and is quite different in that sense. So can you just sort of introduce us to what's happening? So what is Sing, and what is this concept of super spatial audio, and why are you so excited by it?
Yeah, thank you. You know, so first of all, you know, Sing is a company that was founded maybe three and a half years ago with a mission to fundamentally change the way that humans have a relation to sound and audio. So it's a pretty big and audacious mission, and I'll get into how we're tackling that. Sing was founded by, you know, Chris Stringer and Damon Way, and Chris spent a very long time at Apple, you know, designing the iPhone and AirPods and iPad and many other products. And Damon Way was the co-founder of action sports brand DC Shoes and mobile accessory company InCase. But fundamentally, what we're working on is a way to make, if you think about it, it's actually pretty simple, is to bring sound back to the natural way with which human beings have experienced it for millennia, right? So I'm trying to avoid using the word spatial sound, right? Because it sounds like something new and different. But if you think about it, if you go back in time 1,000 years, right? If you think about how have human beings evolved to perceive and understand the world, right? Sound, you know, sound is not stereo in nature, right? Sound is emanating, you know, from all around us, right? Birds flying by, you know, all of water, you know, rushing by. You know, it's really, you know, we live in a spatial world, right? You know, we live in a volumetric world where light and sound emanate and reflect from all around us. And that's just what feels natural. That's what feels real. And then only in the last, you know, say 100 years or so have we created this this illusion, right, of depth, right, that called stereo, right, which requires you to sit or stand in a very specific place in order to feel, you know, the illusion of depth and presence in a stage. But that is brittle, right? You know, it's not how real people live their lives. It's not how I like to spend my time with my family, you know, in my home. So You know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is liberate everybody from the constraints, right, of stereo, or the, even if you think about it, the constraints of the, you know, the 2D planar rectangles called screens and televisions and phones, which hold us captive, right, from the real world that surrounds us. So we tend to call it, you can call it spatial sound. You can, we call it triphonic, you know, which is our brand for how it makes you feel. Right? It just feels different. It feels real. It feels natural. It feels all around you. And all of that is made possible through something, you know, that's in the industry is called computational audio, right? Which is really what you can do with sound now that it's not a speaker, it's also a computer, right? So if you think about this is what's happening with photography, with the iPhone, you know, for example, or the Google Pixel, it's no longer just about mechanical engineering and optics, right? It's also about what can you do with machine learning? What can you do with a variety of interesting software features? You can create, you know, incredible night vision photography. You can create, you know, depth of field, and you can create all kinds of incredible effects and photographs that you could never have done prior. You can now do many things with sound that you could never have done when you were just reproducing it, you know, with an analog, you know, stereo stage. But it's also a combination, right? It's software, it's hardware, it's power, it's industrial design, it's all of those things. So Sing is a full stack company building hardware, software, and services to create a triphonic sound engine or a triphonic sound experience that works in our product, which is called Cell Alpha. And it's our first product. You know, we have other products that we're working on. Cell Alpha is like our Tesla Model S, like if you will, right? It's the ultimate expression, right, of what's capable. It's not necessarily the product for all people, but it is the way that we wanted to launch our brand and come into the world with an uncompromising experience. It liberates you from being constrained, you know, to a specific place where you have to stand or a specific place where the speakers have to be situated. So it's designed to be more like lighting and less like speakers, right? So what is lighting? Lighting is something that delivers utility, but also ambiance, right? And vibe. Lighting, you don't have to put lighting in any rigid or prescriptive place. You put lighting wherever you want to or wherever you need it. And so with our products, it's unfussy, right? You don't have to worry about walking around with a microphone and calibrating your room. You don't have to worry about how close it is to the wall or anything else, because they self-calibrate. They know where each other are. They know where people and objects are. It's all one click, you know, setup and calibration. And it's designed to be to essentially create this natural sound experience where sound just feels like it surrounds you. But it also, I think the most interesting thing to me is if you think about the generational shift that's underway, where there's a new audience, a new set of customers, a new generation who expects to have agency and influence, right, over their media, right? They're not expecting a passive media world, right? You know, where small amounts of people make content for large amounts of people, right? They expect to be able to influence their music, their sound, their movies, their television shows, their games. They want to not just play games, but make games, not just listen to music, but create sounds and audio. So with our product, you have agency, you have influence, you have control. So it's object-based or element-based audio. So it's not rigid channels, right? It's we essentially turn all sounds and instruments into interactive objects. And then it gets really interesting when you can start atomically dissecting it. So now I'm tipping a little bit into the future in terms of where you can go with our product. So you imagine being able to turn off the vocals, you know, on Radiohead and create a meditation, you know, mix, and imagine being able to bring in some nature sounds and some bird song and then be able to do that in 3 seconds, you know, without having a $10,000 workstation or an audio engineering degree. And then all of that is made possible by triphonic and by computational audio, which you can do on our product because it's not just a speaker, it's also a sound engine.
Right. Wow, there's a lot to take on board there. It's like you say, you've gone for the sort of ultimate experience straight off the bat. So this is
I guess what some of our listeners might be thinking is, okay, so how does it work? I mean, but which we'll touch on in a second. But is this something then you're talking about people being creators? This sort of leans into music in the metaverse, where people want to be able to, you know, the metaverse is not just about experiencing things that are happening, but you want to build things and let other people experience them. So is this a piece of technology that will connect to lots of other audio experiences? So you could sit there with a VR headset on
Yeah, we certainly think so and hope so, but we also have to remember audio is a big tent, right? You know, there's room for many people who have different backgrounds and expectations and experiences. So if you really, you know, if you really just want to listen to Spotify or listen to Apple Music or listen to your vinyl and your records, you can do all of those things and it sounds great and in an uncompromising way. And it just fills your space, you know, with a completely natural stage of sound that just feels like it's all around you. You don't have to do anything interactive. You don't have to turn off the vocals on Radiohead. You don't have to move sound around your home. You know, so it can just be what you need it to be. On the other hand, you know, if you're interested in leaning forward, if you're interested in being on that spectrum of authorship and creativity, and you want to start mixing around and making things, you know, good news, you can do all of that. And you could never do that on Sonos or Bowers and Wilkins or any other product because those are speakers and we're a spatial audio computing platform. So so that's how it works. So we think we're well situated for that computing shift that's underway from, you know, a world of smartphones to a world where computing surrounds us in a persistent and seamless way. So our product will integrate with XR, you know, platforms. Our product will integrate with Unity and Unreal Engine. It's being used by production companies and recording studios and music labels today for Atmos playback, you know, listening and approvals. Right. So a lot of that kernel of truth is very much there.
We've, as you've said, been experiencing stereo sound for recorded music for a long time. You know, it's been the de facto standard since, I don't know, the late 60s, let's say. How do you sell people the concept of room-filling spatial audio when, first of all, they're so used to stereo, and secondly, without physically putting them in a space, forcing them into a room and saying, just listen, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the gets to the heart of marketing and go-to-market and how we launch and sell our product. Like what we've learned, you know, we've only been in the market for a few months, and what introducing a new brand, introducing a new product. The good news, you know, is that everybody knows what a speaker is, and everybody knows generally what it does. So the educational ramp, you know, there is pretty minimal. Unlike, you know, my time at Magic Leap, you know, which is much harder in terms of introducing somebody, you know, this is an entirely new way to, you know, perceive and understand the world. And nobody in the planet understands what that is. It's a big lift. So to get back to Sing, essentially, I'd say we have different types of customers approaching it in different ways. So it's very much a beautifully designed product that is timeless in its aesthetic. You know, no screens. You know, nothing that looks dated. You know, over time, it's designed to be lasting and not disposable. And what we find is that has attracted a certain type of customer who values the creativity, the design, the aesthetic. They want to bring purposeful kind of design driven objects, you know, into their home to complement, you know, their life and their environment. So those are customers who are finding us through wallpaper, you know, where we won awards or through design and furniture stores, you know, where we're featured, for example. Other customers are more interested in the latest technology. Right, they're interested in what's right around the corner and what's coming down the pipe. They're interested in learning about computational audio and what could you do, what kind of new experiences can be unlocked, because they feel stagnant or lack of innovation, right? And they define themselves psychologically by being a part of that. And so those customers are gravitating to our products. You know, they're the early adopters. They're the latest to adopt new technology. They're really interested in these new experiences that you can never do anywhere else. Another customer, you know, would I'd say be the legacy audiophile, right? Somebody who puts a premium on fidelity, on quality in an uncompromising way. You know, quality doesn't, has not, never trumped by convenience, you know, for them. And that's a bit of a, you know, a tricky market, right? You know, there's a lot of stereo traditionalists, right, who are not interested in anything new in that regard. And that's okay. That's fine. It's not for them right now. We're not trying to be all things to all people, but it is an experiential product.
Yeah. And we're talking a lot here about how this immersive sound, or this new form of sound consumption, will mean something new or result in a change for consumers, for listeners. But what about musicians? I mean, musicians, when they sit down and write a song, they're not thinking in stereo. They're thinking about the song, right? But then stereo becomes a baked-in part of the process when they're recording. Maybe more advanced producers or musicians are thinking in, you know, in 5.1 sound or something. But really, they're thinking binaurally. What do you think that this offers artists as a new way of creating? If you're offering them this, how do you explain it to them? Like what they can do now they couldn't do before, and what do you right. think that might result in?
You know, I think that it's a great question. So first of all, you know, we 100% always come out on the side of creative intent, right? So under no circumstances are we trying to convince people to do something that they don't want to do, right? The artist, you know, my entire career has been about supporting creators and artists and developers. And so I have a very strong opinion, you know, about that the artist and the creator are always right, right? Whether it's good for a business or not is irrelevant, right? So they have, so I'll always come out on that side of things. What we find is that there are some artists and there are some creators who feel like they want to try something new. They want a new palette. They want new tools. They want to experiment with new capabilities. They feel maybe a little stagnant, you know, with the status quo. And creativity, you know, is sparked, right, by experimentation. And what we're interested in is exposing artists and creators who are interested and comfortable and familiar or curious about what could you do if you can attach sound, you know, to 3D objects. What could you do if, imagine if sound could follow you around your home, right? If you got up from your kitchen and went to your living room and our cell product knew where you were and then it directed sound to you. We can do that, you know, with ultra wideband technology that's coming out soon. So sound can be intelligent. Sound can have awareness. It can have context, right? And that is really interesting. You know, what we're finding is that developers and creators who are coming out of interactive storytelling, like gaming, you know, for example, are very comfortable, very familiar. You know, we're starting with those type of creators and customers. And some of the early investors in Sing, you know, are Yaroslav Beck, who, you know, created Beat Saber for Quest. You know, he's invested in the company. Vince Zampella, who creator of, you know, he runs Respawn, creator of Call of Duty and Jedi Fallen Order. And so the good news is our product just works. It just works. You know, it works with a mono, you know, recording, you know, from back in the day. It works well with multi-channel, you know, recordings. You know, we make it work. It works well with your television and home theater. You know, we take the source, we spatialize it around you. It just feels natural.
And just to jump in here, if you're finding this useful and you'd like more of this kind of in-depth news and trusted analysis waiting for you in your inbox every morning, as well as access to all of our industry-leading reports, head on over to musically.com/subscribe. If you work for an indie label, you're an artist manager, you're an employee of a CMO or a publisher, you might actually be eligible for one of our sponsored complimentary subscriptions. So head on over to musically.com/subscribe to find out more. Okay, let's go back over to Rio.
Does the technology then take a sound source that is mono or stereo, and is it able to sort of use technology to separate out elements of sound and then deliver them differently?
Yes.
And it is. Okay, good. Right. That's good to know. And in the next sense, then, from a creator perspective, how would they be? Do they need to learn to use a new piece of software or some sort of way of supplying the music to really maximize the potential here? Or and is that a sort of educational shift for you as well?
Yeah, so today the answer is no, right? They don't have to do anything different because we've put a lot of work into essentially into making it work for them, right? So whatever source we get, we run through our Triphonic sound engine and it just works, right? So it's, you know, in an engineering context, you'd call that graceful degradation, right? You know, where it just works, right? But in a non-destructive way, you know, in terms of it doesn't affect quality, it doesn't fundamentally alter the intent, but it creates a different experience. And then if you build on top of that, we're right now building out what I would call the tool chain of how you author for Triphonic in a way that is comfortable and familiar with the existing workflows of artists and creators. Because the last thing an artist wants or a producer wants or a developer or creator wants is some new hassle. That's often the difference between adoption or being ignored, right? Is how close of an attention you pay to how people currently do things. Because if it's just incremental friction, you know, that's what I would call an off ramp. It's a reason for people to leave and not use it. So not everybody does things the same way, right? So we're focused on, you know, how does it work if you use Logic and Pro Tools, or how does it work if you use Unity or Unreal Engine? So there's different tool chains and workflows and pipelines that different types of creators go through. But basically, we'll have integrations, you know, with those that allow you to optimize your sound and optimize your experience for Triphonic. But that is not required.
So I've spoken to a bunch of people talking about these new sort of formats of sound. And one of the things they've said when they're talking about spatial audio is that you take existing audio or current audio and you have to then process it and mix it for that platform. And it is an extra layer. And, you know, some people have said to me that there is a sort of stumbling block in that you have to, there's a limited number of engineers who can mix it, and then you have to wait for people to be educated. But you're comfortable that people will be happy to sort of supply the audio as it is to the system, and it will create something that's tangibly different and experientially exciting.
Yeah, we do. We're not fundamentally concerned about it for the reasons I cited, which is that it just works with the existing corpus and the existing libraries and the existing content that's out there. It doesn't require, you know, it doesn't have a cold start problem, right? Where it, you know, it's only can be used with the newest stuff, right? It's backwards compatible with all recorded sources. So we're not starting from zero. We're standing on the back of decades of giants that came before. And then what we do see, why we're bullish and optimistic about this, is because we do see the generational shift underway, right? We do see a whole generation of customers, listeners, creators, developers, musicians who have a pride of authorship, and they want to put their fingerprints on the world, and they don't want to be a passive consumer all the time. And so we see that is wind in our sails that really kind of gets us going with the current and not against it. We also see that integrating into the tools that people use, you know, it decreases the friction and increases the adoption, right, of it. But yes, in order for art, you know, in order to really make it fly, you need spatial audio experiences everywhere, right? Not just in our product, right? You need every product, you know, to be able to support them. And that's where we get into licensing, right? So we do intend, we're not doing it today, but we do intend on licensing our Triphonic sound engine to other OEMs, right? Whether it's televisions, speakers, automobiles, you know, other categories of products, and which will exponentially increase the density of the installed base there for us as well. But that plays out over many years.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, then, as a final question, when you look ahead and you're describing this sort of new environment, which is not just an evolution of how we consume music at the moment, but it's a brand new thing. So how do you think we will be listening to music as a sort of a habit in, let's say, 10 years time, if we adopt this new technology as sort of a standard, if you like?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it all comes back, I believe it's the power of the song, right? So I don't think that that changes. I think it's a great song, transcends the environment with which it's in. So for me, that I still have a lot of reverence and ultimate respect for the creative process. So it's still going to be all be about a great song and a great original work of art. I think in terms of 10 years down the line, you know, that's not going to change, but you are going to have, what I come back to is agency, influence, control, right? So and music, as you know, is the only art form and media type that you can experience in your life actively or passively, right? You know, you can't read a book in the background while you cook, you know, you can't really watch a movie, you know, while you're having a conversation, right? But you can with music. And so there'll be different modalities, right? There'll be people who want to lean forward and, you know, adjust the sound, you know, to their environment, or they want to put some Queen with some Prince and turn the vocals up and add something and then stream it to others. Like, so you'll have the ability to do things like that are much harder to do today for people, but that will be, you know, easy for any four-year-old, you know, to do. And so democratizing things that are typically difficult or expensive or complicated is how you grow markets and how you increase, you know, the density there. So that's something that I think will happen. And then you'll also just have, I just want to have a dinner party and have, you know, the Beatles play. But it will feel like they're there. You'll feel like you're on stage with them, and you know, Paul will be in front of you, and you know, Ringo will be behind you, and it'll just feel somehow a little bit more intimate, a little bit more personal, a little bit more enveloping or volumetric around you. But I think that that's how I see things playing out. I'll use the words natural and real. Right? It'll just feel like you're really there in a natural way, which is how human beings have evolved for millennia to understand and experience the world around you. So that's what we're trying to get to with our product, is to get back to the way that humans have evolved to understand the world, which is what feels real and what feels natural. And if you think about it, that just makes sense, right? And anything else we've had in the last few decades, you know, from a television, you know, to a speaker system, to a stereo stage is fundamentally, you know, artificial. It's not, it didn't evolve naturally, you know, over many thousands of years.
Yes, and a very interesting point to leave it, which is around the sort of a shift in consumption and a way that people actually engage with music. And that is the, you know, in a more broad sense, something we're witnessing at the moment with, as people look for different ways to engage with artists, engage with music, and engage with fans as well. I will put some links next to this podcast so people can at least see the technology and see some examples of how it can be used and research further. And I guess they can get in touch with Sing and see if there's any ways that they can pursue any sort of collaborative things there. So thank you very much, Rio Cara, for joining us.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be here, and thank you for having me.
And a huge thanks again to Rio for speaking to us about all this fascinating technology and making us think a little bit harder about the way we consume music and how it could be different. There are a number of links around the podcast for you to dig a little bit deeper. And if you found that conversation useful, please share the podcast on with someone who you think will also get something out of it. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, that would be wonderful. And my email address is joe@musically.com. That's Joe, J-O-E. @musically.com. We have as well a free weekly email if you'd like to stay in touch another way. It's called The Knowledge, and every Friday it lands in your inbox with a giddy thump. It'll round up bits and pieces of the best analysis, news, marketing insight and skills that Music Ally publishes. Links to that and everything else are in the description as always. So thanks for joining us. I've been Joe Sparrow, Music Ally's editor, and until next time on the Music Ally podcast, farewell.